بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atal, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani is the guest speaker from the Islamic House and welcome to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, Sheikh, one major question posed by so many people is that the humans are born to be, for example, tortured. It's better to say spiritually tortured, of course. And we can say, but by just one moment of ghafla, ignorance or something like that, they will be chastised in the other world. What kind of world is this that we are born? We have to always take care of our actions. We have always take notice from here and there not to do bad things. We do not have any free choice, free will or something like that. And at last, we have to be chastised in the other world. What's your answer to your question?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first point that should be understood regarding this kind of question is this, that sometimes some people might mistakenly assume that punishment or adab is something that will be given to us. It has nothing to do with our deeds. While punishment or adab or rewards are those things that we ourselves achieve them, that we ourselves build, make, produce, generate them by our actions.
Yes.
Azab is nothing other than the result of our deeds, you know? And rewards are nothing other than except those things that we achieve and attain by our deeds. That's why, so everything that we receive in the hereafter life or even in this world, it is what we ourselves built by our own, let's say, deeds and acts. This is the first point. So then adab or punishment is not something that will be given to us without having any link or relationship with the deeds in this life. No. It is like a building. When you build a building,
yes.
Finally, the way that you build the building, you will have the building.
Mm-hmm.
The building will not be something other than what you built.
Mm-hmm.
Adab or punishment is not other than the things that you yourself decided to build by
so
your life.
This is not something like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, of course. Allah is merciful.
Beforehand, already created you
that's
with
the point. That's the point, yeah. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always merciful and kind.
Yes.
He provided us with all the sustenance, whatever we need. And He always sent us the prophets, the imams. He gave us, provided us with aql, with reason, with intellectuality. All these things are kind of means by which we can be guided through the right path and finally get to the paradise. But if you yourself want not to go to the paradise, then of course there is no determinism, there is no predestination by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first point. The second point is that, look, when you suppose that it is told to you that, for example, a university is going to, for example, hold a kind of entrance exam. Those who, for example, take part into this entrance exam and successfully pass this entrance exam, then, of course, they will get to the very good, measures for studies, fields of studies with very good professors, very good facilities. They will be given very good, for example, diploma or certificates at the end of the semester. So there are thousands of students are there.
Yes.
Some of them understand how much important is that opportunity, which is a kind of golden opportunity for them in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, they try their best to successfully pass this exam.
Yes.
And some of them may not try.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, few of these students will get to that university and will get, for example, that diploma or finally will be graduated from that university. And in the whole life, they will enjoy the benefits or let's say the facilities that they will be provided because of their diploma or certificate in the whole life. Mm-hmm. So these moments before the entrance exam, each moment before this entrance exam is like a golden opportunity, like not golden even, we can say like diamonds. That is why if you lose these opportunities, of course, the consequences will be very much, let's say, bad for you, because you will lose all those good opportunities that later you could have in your life because of not trying your best to successfully pass this exam. So if a person understands truly that how much important is this moment's time that you have before the exam and how much important is to prepare yourself to study hard, yeah, then of course you will be successful. That's if you yourself do not try your best, of course, then you will not be successful. This is what we do in this life. This life is exactly the moments, the golden moments of before that entrance exam. Mm-hmm. If we make use of these moments of before the exam, of course, we will be successful.
Okay.
If not, we will lose by ourselves. It should not be blamed in anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point that we should understand.
IRIB English Radio presents Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Praise to Allah, all glory to Allah, we worship Allah and no one but Allah.
So there are so many, we can say, sometimes the people lose their hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life because they have so many difficult times, hardships, afflictions, you know, oppressions are over there. And, you know, they start stating some kufr, disbelieful, for example, words.
That is totally wrong.
I do not believe in this. I do not believe in that anymore. Where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why I have been created? Where is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will a person be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this was because Allah is Arhamur Rahimin or something like that?
Yeah, of course, if he commits kufr.
Uh-huh.
Shirk is the best example of kufr,
mm-hmm.
and the worst example of kufr, we can say.
But yes.
Then, of course, if someone commits kufr, it will not be forgiven. That is the shirk. Shirk is the kufr, that the gunah, or the, let's say, shirk is the sin that will never be forgiven. That is why if you ascribe something shirk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the major or great sin, that we must be always mindful of that, very much careful about that. Of course, again, losing hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a very major sin that we must be always careful about that and mindful of that. The point is that if we look at the story or the life accounts of the holy prophets, look at, for example, the prophet Ayyub.
Yes.
Look at the prophet Moses alayhi salam, prophet Ibrahim, prophet, let's say, Yusuf. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the people study the life account of them mentioned in the Holy Quran and Ruwayat, they faced lots of challenges, serious challenges, problems, obstacles or difficulties.
Yes.
But since they did not lose their hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of the day, finally they succeeded. If we look at the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, you see what Yusuf attained at the end of life. If we look at the early days of life of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, we see that how much hopeful he was, while his brother wanted to kill him. But finally he became the wazir, or he became the, what we can say, Aziz, the master of Misr or Egypt. And then we have also the story of Prophet Ayyub ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the early life of the Holy Prophet, how much difficult it was. He lost his father before his birth.
Yes.
He lost his mother.
Yes.
And he lived in a very, very, let's say, difficult kind of environment and situation.
That's right.
All the people of Mecca wanted to kill him, and then he left Mecca for Medina, and then people attacked on Medina, wanted to kill him, wanted to eliminate even Islam and Muslims from the planet. This was the plan they had. They were the great emperors of Persia and Greece on the two sides. All these things finally, and we see that they defeated and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam succeeded. This story, the life account of the prophets, tell us that we should not lose our hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we should be always hopeful.
That's right.
And call upon Allah to help us, to support us.
Okay, that's right.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Sometimes, unwillingly and unwantedly, we kill some animals in the house. Especially ants are very much, you know, present in the houses. Is it considered as a sin or not?
It depends. You know, we cannot absolutely say that either killing of the insects itself is sin or not, you know? It depends that in what way you kill them. Sometimes you see some people just as a kind of to just spend their leisure time, or for example, to just make fun of something, to just entertain themselves, they kill the insects. Yeah?
Yes.
Of course, it's not true. It's wrong. If there are sometimes insects that annoy you, that might be dangerous and harmful, their presence in your house, of course, in that case, you are allowed, it is permissible to kill them. It depends that by what intention you kill the insects. Though the killing of the insects or the animals itself is not good without, for example, a reasonable purpose, without the reasonable, let's say, reason, we should not kill them. But of course, if sometimes you have reasonable kind of reasons, yeah, it is allowed to kill some of the, for example, insects or animals in order to safeguard yourself, your children, your family from them. In this way it is permissible, and there's problem with that. But we do not have any specific ayah or riwayah that killing of the ants is something sinful, or things like that.
For example, are there any specific animals that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than others? So killing them will be considered as a sin or
even
not?
It depends. You know, it depends that any animal, as I told you, as general kind of rule, any animal that sometimes become horrifying, become dangerous, yeah?
Yes.
And there are some dangers by those animals to you. In order to safeguard yourself, of course, if you can safeguard yourself without killing that, so that's good, that would be good. But if you there's no any other way, of course, then you can kill them. Or sometimes, for example, if you are in need of the meat of some animals, for example, of course, then you can kill them. Same is the case with the insects.
That's all right. But all in all, we should know that killing innocent animals is not supported by Islam.
Yeah, without any reasonable, let's say, reason for entertaining, for example.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not
true. Yeah, some people do that for entertainment. That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration on these two important questions for today's discussion. It was very kind of you.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسن
حسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن